You're listening to the Ouch Sourcing Podcast. Here is your host, Addison Oliveira.
I've spoken with Barbara Turley about why clients and virtual assistants need to be trained on how to work together. She talked about what are the key things that will make or break any virtual assistant initiative. Finally, we spoke about what trends are currently affecting the virtual assistant industry and much, much more. Hello, hello, Addison Oliveira here. This is another interview for the Outsourcing Podcast, where I talk to business owners, to entrepreneurs, to specialists, to people that know a lot about the outsourcing space and will help us, you know, bridging the gap between where we are and where we want to be by leveraging outsourcing. So here today, I have with me Barbara Turley. She is the founder and CEO of Virtual Angel Hub, which is a company that specializes in recruiting, training, and managing superstar virtual angels. Barbara, welcome.
Hi, Addison. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Okay, first question here. Do you have a virtual assistant yourself?
I have 12 virtual assistants. Yes. So I practice what I preach very much. I've got a team of 12 people, all based in the Philippines. And we have another 40, almost 50 people working for our clients as well. So I've got a team of sort of 50, 60 people in the Philippines now, which has been a very exciting journey. So I know a thing or two about this outsourcing thing.
Barbara, what is it with the water in the Philippines that it seems that they breed great virtual assistants? What is it?
Well, actually, they do, and it is a fantastic industry over there. But I'm not sure. I think there will be some people listening to this podcast saying, well, I went to the Philippines and I didn't necessarily have a fantastic time with a VA over there, because it's not actually as easy as people think. So they do breed them very well over there. But what I found in my experience is that the training is very patchy. You know, the resumes out there are all people who've gained experience sort of on the job. And sometimes it's a bit of a mismatch of experience. So, that's why we developed a program where we actually train virtual assistants very deeply in what we do to make sure that we just get that extra edge for them.
So Barbara, that may seem obvious, but what is the difference between going through a platform like Upwork and finding a virtual assistant there as compared to going through a company like yours?
So, yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, of course, there are many great virtual assistants on Upwork, places like Upwork that you can find. What I typically found, though, I started out that way. And, you know, to be honest, the business that I'm in, Virtual Angel Hub, it kind of started by accident. And here's how I'll circle back to your answer. I was recruiting. I was doing a lot of business coaching, and I was noticing that all the business owners I was coaching, the biggest problem they actually had was that they had no time. So I isolated that the problem wasn't necessarily they didn't know what to do. They just had no time. So I started recruiting some virtual assistants in the Philippines for them. And, you know, I was finding them on Upwork and doing the usual thing that we all do. But I found it very difficult. Once the virtual assistant went in to work with the business, there were a whole lot of challenges. And I realized that the main problem wasn't actually recruiting a VA. It was learning, you know, both the client and the virtual assistant need to learn how to work well together. And often, like I said, with the resumes, sometimes VAs can say, oh, yeah, I can do all this stuff, but they don't know what they don't know. So, you know, I was helping clients build marketing funnels on Entreport and Fusionsoft, and now we're doing HubSpot as well. And some VAs would come and say, oh, yes, I've got experience in that. But they didn't know that, like, the level of experience they had wasn't really quite what we wanted. So I started training them. And, you know, it sort of evolved from there. And I started training the client on how to delegate more effectively so that you can actually get the best value out of a VA. So when people come to us, they're typically coming because they like the model that we run. They recognize that sourcing is not as easy as people think. They want our training for them, and they also want their VA trained before they come to them in mainly digital marketing and social media type areas. And then the final piece is that we also, at Virtual Angel Hub, you know, I have this grand vision of creating a virtual culture and making it like we're trying to become one of the best employers in the Philippines. We offer benefits to all of our VAs. So we've got a whole culture going there. And a lot of our clients actually like that, because if they're a small client, they don't have to create culture themselves. And they know that their VA is just not sitting on their own at home with no interaction with them. They have a lot of interaction with our team. We have help desks and support teams and all that stuff as well. So, you know, if you don't want to do all the legwork yourself, then you would come to someone like us and we do it for you.
I get it. And I think that it's invaluable to do something like training for clients, not just for the VAs, but for the clients as well. I think that it's brilliant. And one aspect that I personally find challenging in the Philippines in particular, but in general, I've been doing outsourcing not only with VAs for 10 years now. So I know a thing or two about outsourcing as well. How do you break, in a way, the pattern, Barbara, of assistant or just an outsourcing provider in general that is not that proactive, that we are, you know, I would hope that they would confront me a little bit more. They would say, hey, Ederson, you should be doing maybe this instead of that. You should go this direction. I think that it does make sense what you are telling me to do. How do you instigate that type of approach to be a little bit more, I would say, aggressive, you know, or proactive, I would say. It's better positioned to say proactive, I think. How do you instigate that?
Okay, so this is a fabulous question that we deal with literally every single day. We probably have an issue around this, or we have a client asking for it. So the first thing I would say is, in the Philippines, because that's where I mainly deal, it is a cultural thing there as well, because the Philippines is quite a yes culture. So its first step is that you have to try to understand the culture and the psyche of the people there. So they, you know, if you go back in history, and we, you know, you could go on all day about this, but culturally, they typically still feel, not everyone, but I've been told this by my team, they still feel a little bit subordinated to us in the Western world, right? So they feel like we're better than them, we know more than them. And they sometimes don't realize that they know more than us in certain topics, right? So they just assume that you know what you're doing as a business owner and that you just want them to do tasks for you. Now, what I found with this is we get clients asking about this all the time. So what we're trying to do now is we actually, in our training programs, we're training VAs in how to think more strategically. And what I found is that they're well capable of it. They're just too afraid, or they've never been asked. They've never been asked their opinion before. You know, the BPO industry that is huge in the Philippines, a lot of people go in there and they're just told how to operate. They're not actually allowed to think. So that's sort of step one. Step two is the personality type. You know, I'll give you a clue. For every 100 people that that apply for a job with us, our hit rate is about 2%. So we will hire about 2% of people. And what we're looking for, we actually don't hire for skills. We used to, but we don't anymore. We're looking for that, exactly what you're talking about, that little personality type, the person that we can teach the skills, but we can't teach enthusiasm, initiative, proactiveness. You actually can't teach it. You have to recruit for it. And just understanding the culture will help you to navigate that a bit better.
Got it. So what you're saying is that, let me see if I got this right, your requirement to have a new VA coming on board is not so much the technical side of things, of how, if they know how to do this or that, but it's more of, are they proactive? Or I don't know if the term that you use is proactive, but do they have that edge? Yes or no? Is that correct?
Yes. So we're trying to recruit for that now. Or, you know, now also remember, some clients don't want that. So we've got to be very careful here that some clients want proactiveness. Other clients just want their task list done. And it could be an admin VA that they're really looking for. And they like a bit of proactiveness, but they kind of just want the task list taken care of and the processes. So we do a little bit of both. And I used to sort of say, let's only recruit for a proactive type, you know, this type of VA. But what we've seen is that some clients do come to us and they sort of just want someone who's going to focus on the task list and be very methodical about getting through it without too many questions.
And how do you identify that? Is that via an interview process, via discovery call? How do you discover that, you know?
So the recruiting process, what a journey I've had with this. You know, recruiting is a really, really difficult thing to get right. You know, you can kind of get lucky sometimes with it. So our recruiting process is very long. It takes about 6 to 8 weeks for a VA to actually get into a job with us. Part of that is because we have our own funnel. So we built a recruiting funnel where we make them do a lot of testing on the way in. Then there's an interview process, which is lengthy. You got to meet a lot of our team. There's different types of questions. And then they enter an intensive training program with us. And at each point in the training program, we knock people out. So we start, because it's very easy to hide your personality traits for a few weeks, but it's very difficult to hide them in a 3 week long intensive full-time training program. And through that program, we also start to see where people's skills really lie. So sometimes we may have someone that's maybe not that proactive, but they're very good and very diligent. And we will still move forward with that person. But the only way you can spot it is, for us anyway, is to deeply train and to watch people intensively.
Got it. I see. At the end of the day, you cannot fake for too long. I mean, there's a point that we're going to figure out, isn't it?
Yeah. And our training program is pretty hard. you're tested and you get assignments and things. So it's tough
one. Let me ask you this. I saw throughout the site somewhere that mentions that you offer full-time VAs and part-time VAs. Is that the two basic models that you work with the company?
Yes, we do. Look, I have found, you know, we often get people coming to us saying, oh, look, I just need a VA for a few hours per week. At this stage, we've chosen not to go into that market because the clients that we look to work with is someone, it's not necessarily that they're a big company. I just personally feel that if you're going to get a virtual assistant, 4, 5, 6 hours a week is nothing. I mean, if you can't find 20 hours of work for a VA to do in a business, you're probably not pushing hard enough. So for us, we just specialize in dedicated staff is what we're doing. It's also for the virtual assistant side, though, because it's easier on them if they're doing 2 or 3 contracts rather than like 6 different mishmash contracts that are a little bit too messy for them. So we like to have a more streamlined process for what we're doing on both sides.
Got it. So based on that, I would assume that, as you just mentioned, the same VA will not be able to handle a lot of clients. I mean, if a full-time VA does a full-time position for a client, I would assume that there's not much time for any other clients there with that VA, correct?
Yeah. Look, being honest, you know, I originally had a rule that you could only have one full-time client. Again, understanding the culture in the Philippines, we have found that some of our VAs operate really well with one full-time client and then a part-time client they may do in the evening or early morning. Because culturally in the Philippines, they're like workhorses over there. And what we have found is if they don't do it for us, they're going to do it for someone else online. And we would rather that they remain within our culture. So if somebody really wants to do that, we do allow that, but no more than that is what our rules are.
What about time zone, Barbara? I mean, I came across people that say, hey, we are willing to work on your time zone. And I know that it's the complete opposite time zone wise as compared to North America and the Philippines. So is there a best practice there as to, you know, let them work on their time zone or have them work in the same time zone as you are working? What is the best practice there?
Yeah, look, again, I've toyed with this one a lot, actually. You know, ethically, I've gone, do we do a night shift? You know, like, do we allow VAs to work at 2 o'clock in the morning? At this point, I have resisted it because I feel that, you know, the well-being of our people is very important to me. So how we operate is we operate, it's a very small window that we don't do. Between the hours of midnight and sort of 5 a.m., we don't really do. We have a couple of VAs that might stretch into 1 a.m. or, you know, but between a kind of midnight and 5 a.m., we don't do. Now, the reason for that, so the reason we've chosen not to do it at this stage is because we have a work from home model. Now, there are lots of VAs in the Philippines that work the night shift. There's a massive culture of night working over there. So it's not like, sometimes I think in our cultures, we think, oh, it must be terrible. But there's like cafes open. It's literally like the night market is huge. Okay. But because we have a work from home model, I just feel it's very difficult at 3 o'clock in the morning on your own, in your own house, to be motivated, particularly if you're working for a client that doesn't engage with you that much. So my advice to clients on this is always like this. If you're running the type of business where you're online all day and you literally are going to be interacting like, hey, Barbara, can you do this for me? Or where's that thing at? Then it's fine to do a night shift. If you are not going to be interacting with that VA much through the shift, what does it matter? Let them, you can have some crossover. So I always recommend that you have to have a meeting every day, like a huddle or something that crosses over in your time zone. But does the work really need to be done in that time? If it doesn't, we ask clients not to do that because you won't get the best work, is the truth.
Got it. Okay. So I see, as I have some experience with outsourcing, I see how important it is to communicate well, to be able to communicate well and frequently and not disappear on people. How do you recommend clients to define expectations on how frequently they want to be communicated? How do you define expectations better on this VA-client relationship?
Oh, wow. I feel like, did I plant these questions in here, Addison? Because these are all the questions that, these are the great questions that people need to really look at. And, I actually have a podcast, too, called Virtual Success, where it's a bit like what you're doing, where we're trying to help people to understand how to get success. We did a whole show on defining expectations with your team. And we did, the communication topic is so huge that we had to do a 3-part podcast on it because it's massive. So it is one of the, I would say communication is the make or break. If you have great systems and processes in your business, you've got a well-oiled machine, everything's running well, you can still fail with virtual teams because of your communication style. And because it doesn't match with the VA that you have. So a couple of things on this. I could talk forever on this, but I'll try and narrow it down to a few key points. Don't use email. Please, literally in 100% of cases that I have seen, people who try to deal with virtual teams using email will fail or at best be very frustrated. Now, that's not because email doesn't work. It's just email, things can get lost too easily. We recommend always use a project management tool. Asana is what we use, but there's, Trello, there's Teamwork, there's loads of them out there. And it just helps to create order and to keep the comment flow on a particular task in the task so that you don't lose instructions. And there's never the, oh, I didn't get that email or which email was that, right? There's no confusion. So there's nowhere to hide and there's no confusion. On top of that, you need to discover, for example, a problem we see a lot is a VA will say, well, I'm communicating with the client, but they're just, getting annoyed at me or the client's complaining. And what we've seen is that if you have a VA, like for me, I'm at my desk a lot, so I work quite operationally in my business, so I like them to keep me updated constantly. I like to be, things are in flow all the time. For another client that maybe is a naturopath or something, where they maybe have appointments all day with clients, they don't want the VA pinging them all day with questions, But that's about deciding together what communication style is going to work for both of you, So the client may get really upset with a VA that's annoying them, but they haven't actually clarified with that VA when is the best time to contact them or how to contact them. And my final piece of advice on this, a 10-minute fast, it's a daily huddle really, but a 10-minute meeting that has a very strict agenda every single day. What have you done? What are you going to do? And where do you need help? Absolutely vital. It will be a game changer for you if you do that in your business from a communication perspective. And commit to it, like don't cancel it, those are my 3 big tips for that.
I get it. So that's why you need to train the clients as well, isn't it?
Yes, massively. In fact, we're about to rebuild our training program because it's not robust enough. You know, the training is all, there's a three-part training that we do, but we still see, like, at the moment we have a client that is struggling so badly that this client really needs a business coach to go in and rip her systems and operations and her communication apart just so she stops wasting money with a VA, you know. So sometimes it can be to that level. You may actually need to get a coach in to help you with your systems and your operations, because otherwise you're going to continue to blame the VA when a lot of the time, 9 times out of 10, it's not actually the person. It's the operating environment in which you're both trying to get success together. It's very important.
Because at the end of the day, I mean, people seem to expect to be able to dump a bunch of tasks to this individual and hope for the best. And that's just not the way it is. I mean, you have to train, you have to, again, put systems in place to be able to best use that resource, you know?
Yeah. And for them to feel part of your, it's just like bringing any, look, just because they're virtual doesn't mean they're not like any employee that you would bring into your business. Yep. Now, even if you've got someone for 5 hours a week, you know, show them a little bit of your culture and bring them in. And you've got to have an onboarding process. You've got to have a training process. Now, the other reason a lot of clients come to us is because in the areas of social media, content management, digital marketing, implementation is what I would say, not strategy, we actually have developed a whole pile of processes. And we say to clients, you can, and we train the VAs on them. So we say, look, you can just take our processes and not have to build your own, and then, you know, get the VA to execute those for you. And that's why a lot of clients come to us, because we did a sort of a plug and play thing because this was such a massive problem. And building processes is not that easy, but we still see clients have problems. You know, we still, the communication styles don't match. There's no, one client went off on holiday for a month, didn't speak to the VA for a whole month. And I was like, well, yeah, that's probably not a great idea. You know, at least check in.
Of course. Yeah. And that you brought a good point that I forgot to mention. I got on Virtual Angel Hub profile that says, you know, you guys specialize in social media, digital marketing, and systems automation. It's almost like you have developed a set of skills that, hey, we have virtual assistants, but they are very good at this, and this. Is that the strategy behind that?
Yes. And I'll tell you why I did that. A few reasons. When I started doing this first and I got a lot of people coming looking for VAs, I was very green myself. I mean, I had VAs, but I didn't realize the breadth of, you know, like, what is a VA? That's the biggest question out there. There are something like 100 different definitions of the type of VA that you're looking for. Like, a bookkeeper can be a VA. So I was having, I mean, we had lawyers coming to us looking for legal secretaries and different skills, and we became overwhelmed with trying to recruit. And I decided that my area, it's my area of love is digital marketing, and I know that it's a growing area. So I also love to build companies and businesses. So I've got a lot of background in actually doing this. And I thought, well, I'm going to create a sort of a productized service. So rather than people coming to us saying, here's what I want, we say, hey, marketplace, here's what we deliver. If this looks like what you want, then you come to us, and here's how we deliver it. And we don't customize for anyone. Now, that sounds a little bit short-sighted, but when I started doing that and we developed the training program, we were very clear about what we do, our success exploded because we only got people who want what we have. And we turn the other people away.
Exactly. Yeah. Again, you created a filter right there. You only get people, you know, that are interested on that scope, you know, on those different services. I mean, I find that very, very, I mean, great as compared to a general VA type of organization. You know? Barbara,
We can also control the training.
Okay.
So because I saw the issue with delivery of quality, you've got to keep the quality high. And look, we don't always get it right. You know, it's a people business, always problems. But, you know, to maintain the quality, that's why our success rate's high, because we deliver a certain thing, we train on it, and the clients know what they're getting before they're coming in.
Barbara, let me ask you this. In a more global, overall, you know, 10,000 feet type of look at this. Why now there is such an explosion? And I know that VAs are not something from last year, from 2 years ago. It's something that's going on for a few years now. But there just seems to be an explosion right now of people offering their services as VAs, of different companies offering different things within the VA space. Companies like, I don't know if you have come across this name before, but like Zirtual, which is, they hire VAs, US-based. What is the zeitgeist? What is happening right now that it's converging to such an explosion in this space?
Look, that's a great question too. There's a few things. Outsourcing is nothing new. I've been thinking about this. I think there's a few reasons. So the first one could be we're getting more used to speaking to offshore people on the phone in general. So, you've got like there's Uber, there's Airbnb, there's all these massive companies that have big offshore teams, and you're getting used to chatting to people from the Philippines on the phone in general, right? So generally, the world has opened up in that way where it's more normal for us. So people are starting to think, well, maybe I could use that. The other thing, I think the explosion in digital, for anyone, I mean, people listening to this podcast probably know that if you're running a business today, you need to be online. I mean, it doesn't really matter what your business is. There's an online presence that you need to maintain. Social media has also exploded in the last, I mean, it only started 10 years ago, and it has literally exploded in the last few years. But the management of all of that is a massive amount of work for anyone in a business, and it's becoming a massive headache. It's causing a lot of stress to a lot of business owners, and you can get a lot of that by outsourcing, going online. And the Philippines in general, and I'm talking a lot about the Philippines here, there are other countries, but the tech space over there has completely exploded in India, the app developers, this sort of thing, that it's just pushing everybody starting to talk about it. And I think that's what's fueling the explosion, really.
So what do you see as the coming trends in this space, in the VA space, not only with your business moving forward, which we're going to touch in a second, but in general, within the VA space, what are some of the trends that you see going on right now?
Yeah. So one of the big ones that a few people have pinged me about saying, are you not worried about this? And I'm totally not, is the explosion that's coming in AI, right? So artificial intelligence, bots, messenger bots, etc. I'm very excited about, yes, all these sort of things. So I'm a huge fan of automation, and so are our VAs. Like, so often we love when a new tool comes out because it frees up the VA's time to do more high value stuff. So I think, we're embracing bots in our business and in our clients' businesses. We're helping them to put them in. So for example, on our Facebook page, we have a new VA. Her name is Jane, and she is an automated assistant, and she works fabulously well for our team. So, there is going to be a big explosion in automation systems, artificial intelligence, and I'm very keen to explore how we can, the VAs are going to have to be more trained. So they're going to have to be doing more high value stuff, which we're excited about because that's what we actually do. You're still going to need people. People are the backbone of business, right? So it doesn't matter what automation comes out or what new thing comes out, you're still going to have a need for people. And that's the thing that I'm excited about. And I'm really getting more into listening to big speakers out there talking about how to engage people, how to create amazing cultures that people want to be a part of. So, I'm excited for the future of this whole game and to see where it's going to go.
You know what? It's so great to hear you talking about AI because this podcast is around outsourcing. And I have interviewed already 2 AI companies. Because, again, I see the link between AI and outsourcing. And, again, you brought some great points there that I have covered in some other interviews. Again, great points there. Mm-hmm. Barbara, we're coming towards the end here. Is there something that you'd like people to keep in mind after listening to this conversation here? Anything in particular, but pick one thing.
Yeah. Look, I really do. And I'm going to circle back to the communication thing. Communication will literally make or break your success with outsourcing in general. If you can learn to write your task descriptions or video or whatever you want to do, you have to be clear. You've got to slow down in order to be able to speed up in business and with outsourcing. And I see it happen a lot that, you know, we get VAs that are frustrated. We've got a success coach team that help our VAs as well. And they elevate situations to me and to HR where we look at the situation and a client is annoyed and the VA is annoyed. And it actually all comes down to how the task is written. And it's like a brain dump from the client's head and nobody actually can decipher what they really want. So if a client could just get it right around using bullet points, being clear about the steps that you want to happen and how you write things, you seriously will, it'll be a game changer for you.
You know, I think that that's a great point. However, I find challenging is what is it that I should not assume here? At which point am I just giving an excessive level of details here that is useless or is just taking a lot of my time? Again, at which point do we have that crossing line that, hey, when is enough? You know, when is too much? You know, that's really what bugs me a little bit. Do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, I do actually. That's a good one. I have seen that happen too, where we've just like reams of instruction, like it's just way too much. So what I do in this situation, I think with a task, right, it doesn't matter how much experience somebody has. I think what you have to do is you got to create your task or your description, put a few points in there, and then say to the person, you may do some training, you may have a video, whatever, but say to the person, okay, here's what we're going to do. Let's start this task. And then like, don't just wait till the deadline date and go, hey, is it done? Maybe have a check-in point and let's have a look at what that person's experience of doing that task is. So in the beginning of your relationship, you've got to see what is that person's experience of working with you? And is there more communication needed or did they nail it? Maybe they just nailed it, you know? And maybe when you see mistakes, I always say to clients, mistakes are like gifts because if you see them as mistakes, sometimes, not always, can show you where the holes are in your process that you didn't think about. So you may have to teach your person how to think the way you do while you're doing the process. And that's like an iteration, which is very difficult to get right. The only way to do it is to accept full responsibility, being open to working together as a team with your person and not just like dumping the task list and it's them and me. So it's hard to get right, but yeah, look, the piece of advice I would say, if you get this right, it pays so many dividends. I mean, it is just the most explosively good thing for your business. So anyone who's not willing to invest the time, energy, I'm not even going to say money because it's time and energy. If you're not willing to invest the time and energy, you won't reap the benefits of it. But if you do, you will.
Awesome. Barbara, let's talk a little bit about now virtual Angel Hub. What type of clients are you looking for? I mean, what is the typical client profile that you think is a good fit for you in your business to help with VAs?
Yeah, so we have quite a few, and we're actually narrowing a lot our client avatar right now because we've seen, again, you learn from working with people around who we're really looking for. The typical business that does very well with us, I'm not going to say any business. A lot of it is we deal a lot with people who have big online presences, obviously, because that's the area that we like to specialize in. But it's not just having an online presence. We like to get businesses that are, and this might sound a bit too narrow, we like to bring in businesses that have a sense of structure. So, who know where they're going, they've got a strategy in place, they know how to create what needs to be done, and then they're willing to learn and to be open to being taught about how to delegate more effectively so that they get success. If somebody is open like that, we can definitely help them. But we have had situations where we have clients that come in that do have big online needs, but their business is so, they themselves and their business is so chaotic and crazy that nobody can work with them, not even a coach. You know, I've actually refused to coach a couple of people because I've just gone, it's just a crazy hot mess. So any business that is willing to create some structure slow down in order to speed up later and is open to being, is coachable in that way, then we can definitely help in terms of the online place. So it's more a bit like the VAs coming in. It's a personality type as opposed to a business type.
Got it.
Yeah.
I would welcome you to plug your podcast as well, because I know that you have a podcast.
Yes. So one of the reasons, so Virtual Success, would love, you know, people to jump on there and have a look, because it's a very, we do case studies. So it's, basically, it's trying to help people to get success with outsourcing, because we've just seen so many people fail. And everyone's talking about this outsourcing thing, but they don't realize how difficult it is. So on the show, I have a co-host who is a business coach. And what we do is we interview people who have big offshore teams on how they do it. We dissect case studies that we both come across where people may have failed or we helped or they struggled, and we show how we got them success. And then we talk about our own businesses and tips that, you know, traps that we've fallen into. So it's a very tactical type of podcast that you'll glean a lot of insights on what not to do.
Perfect. And as usual, all the links mentioned here by myself, by Barbara, will all be placed in the show notes. So everything will be available for you to get the link from there. So Barbara, we're coming towards the end here. I just want to finalize by letting you tell the audience of how can they can reach out to you, how can they connect with you, with your business, what is the best way to approach you?
Yeah, so if you want to talk to us about Virtual Angel Hub, so you can jump on virtualangelhub.com and just hit up, there's a live chat button. There isn't an AI on there, that's a real person on that one. And you can book a outsourcing discovery call with one of our strategists. We have two strategists, one in Australia, and we have one now in Ireland, so that we can deal with the US time zone more effectively, Ireland, where I'm from. You can chat with those guys. And they're very good at, we don't take everyone. And a lot of time on that call, if somebody's unsure, we can really help somebody on that call to tell them what they need to do to get ready and to come back in 3 months' time. So it literally is a free strategy call where somebody will tell you whether you're ready for this or not, so you don't waste your money. If you want to connect with me personally, LinkedIn is always the best one for me. I am on Facebook, so you can find me on Facebook too, but I try and keep Facebook for personal and LinkedIn more for my professional side. So yeah, and the Virtual Success Show podcast as well. We're on iTunes and you can catch us there at virtualsuccessshow.com.
Perfect. Again, Barbara, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate the knowledge, the experience, the willingness to share your, you know, your cases there and what to do, what not to do. Again, very, very invaluable information that you have shared with us. Thank you very much. And I hope that we can talk again in the future to see how the business is doing and how, you know, things have moved along. Thank you very much. Bye. Yeah,
that would be great. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Outsourcing Podcast. For more information, show notes, and links mentioned in this episode, visit outsourcing.com/the number of this episode.